I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Boat Rentals. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. We advise that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote the growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Alrighty, here we go. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 29th of July, and I have to apologize for last night. I had my middle daughter is here with me, and we wanted to spend some family time together with the girls last night. So we you can watch it if you want. Okay. So we messed around here and played some game, watched some TV, and had a little fun for a little while. So I'm sorry about that, but we'll try to make up to it tonight. So try to keep up, would you? We're gonna be moving kind of fast. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Queso, Cowboy, right? Who all we got in here? Let me see. We got a lot of the regular ones here. Queso made it in again tonight. Cowboy's getting to be a regular. Concrete and still hanging in there. Desert Rat, Tinker. Mars made it again. Good to see you guys. And Minion Mountain Shooter, Northwest Heavy. And Right to Wrist, T-Dog, and a whole stack of Anonymous there. So all you Anonymous, we're glad you come to join us. Check it out. Hope you enjoy it. And come back and visit with us. Let us know who you are, where you're at. Obviously, you don't have to tell us your real name and give us your address. But we'd like to know kind of what area you're in and all of that. So, all right. Right at Risk, thank you. We don't get to do that nearly enough. It's this time slot sometimes is challenging for family time and everything, but it's challenging to no matter what time we do it, so we'll just have to deal with it. I'm going to remind everybody that for those of you that are interested, hunting season's coming up, and we're having what's called a hunting rifle class. You know, it's surprising, I guess it shouldn't be, but I guess I expect everyone to be raised like I was. I mean, we were hunting when I was six, and it's just something we've always done. But we put this class on, and there's people out there, and I got to give them credit for you know, standing up and saying, hey, I want to learn how to hunt. I want to learn how to, you know, what is different about handling and shooting a rifle when you're hunting than for whatever else, target shooting, competition, self-defense, whatever the case may be. There are several things different. And not only do we talk about the weapon itself and how to conduct a number of procedures and stuff with it, but a little bit on shot placement and how to take care of your game and the things that go along with hunting, sportsmanship, ethics. And it's not just about the gun itself, just like with self-defense. It's not all about shooting. There's a whole bunch of other stuff to go along with it. So that, excuse me just a second here. That class is carved in stone. It will be done. It'll be on the 16th and 17th of August. And up at Schatz Ranch, I think it ought to be a lot of fun. So I hope some of you come and join us or talk to some other people that are looking for a little direction and advice on which way to go when they're hunting. So send them our way. Rights at Risk, you know, a lot of us here in the West, same thing. It's hard for me sometimes to be around people that have not enjoyed that tradition, and it seems very odd to me that they don't have that knowledge and that talk about family time. Now, there's some good family time right there when you go out in the woods and camp, you know, spend the night, whether you're in a, obviously we used to do it in a, well, I don't know about obviously, but we used to do it in a, you know, just a tent or with a tarp over us, or just throw a sleeping bag out on the pine needles, and we'd go out there and stay a few days, and that was our thing. That's what we did. And we'd knock down a deer or two, and usually it was cool enough we could just leave them hanging in a tree right there by camp and go out until everybody tagged out, and then load them up and head home. Great, great time. You know. So, anyway. I think I saw that, Rights at Risk, I think I saw that on Facebook the last day or two there, camping. Spending a small fortune to live like a homeless person. Makes perfect sense to me. Lots of stuff going on right now. So many things we can't... Okay, that must be your post then that I saw. I thought that was funny. I don't even know where to start again with all the many things that we have going on, but I guess we can start here. We've got a lot of immigration issues and stuff going on with Israel and Russia and so many problems going on here. But I don't know if you guys heard this story, but there's a sheriff in Ohio that's fed up with it, as a lot of sheriffs are. This is Sheriff Jones in Butler County, Ohio. He sent a letter to the president of Mexico and said, hey, you know, we're feeding and housing your bunch of lowlifes that come over across the border there, and here's your bill. You want these people fed and taken care of? Well, this is what it's costing us, so pay up. And so what happens then? He gets a letter from the federal government that said he violated some treaty in like 1790. The sheriff sent him a bill for the prisoners, and they come here illegally, he said. I've not gotten any money for them, so I billed him for it. And what I got in return was his life threatened. So he got a call from the FBI saying that there were three sheriffs in the country that were going to be killed by the drug cartels, and he was one of them. Now, I don't know what it takes to convince that monkey president that this is several different acts of war here. I don't know that threatening a president's life is actually would be considered an act of war, but it ain't far from it. If it's carried out and we find out that it's a foreign national that does it, then that might be a different story. But the constant invasion that we have every single day of our lives without exception, the shots that were fired at Border Patrol, the coming across the border, the crossing of the border by Mexican military and law enforcement, those, in my mind, are considered acts of war. And we should respond accordingly. Once people start dying for this, I think a lot of them will think twice about doing this. Let me see here. Infidel just made it in with us. Glad you made it. People think I'm sometimes a little harsh on that, but I don't care. Whatever we have to do, it is an invasion. It is an invasion by a foreign country, and even not just all the deadbeats that come across the border. It's military and law enforcement that come across there. That's definitely an act of war, even way more than just the invasion of the common people. When the military comes across there and there's any type of confrontation of any description, I mean, coming across by itself should be enough. But if there's any interaction whatsoever, then it should be considered an act of war. They should be fired upon right then. And if they manage to sneak back across the border alive, then we need to send a letter to the president of Mexico and say, hey, all right, Spud, here's how this is going to go. And lay down the rules, read the Riot Act, and say, that's okay. Next time, we're not going to wait and see what they're going to do. We're not going to ask them any questions. We're going to kill them dead. We're going to shoot them in their tracks. And I'm okay with that. That works for me. Let's see. The queso, you may be right. It says the sad part, if we defended our borders, we're more likely to be shot by our own troops. And that's fact. Well, that's what happened to which one? Let's see. I've got a story here. I've got to find it. We'll get to it before the night's over. We've got like 80,000 stories we have to do in 2 hours. So pay attention. Try to keep up. Along these same lines here, this is unbelievable to me. A group of Boy Scouts from Iowa Cat ought to like this story. A group of Boy Scouts from Iowa traveling from Canada into Alaska when one of the boys took a picture of a Border Patrol agent. So what? He said things escalated from there. The agent immediately confiscated his camera, informed him that he would be arrested, fined possibly $10,000 and 10 years in prison. Oh, get real. What was this little punk? I can't. So I'm trying looking for a word that would replace what I was thinking, because what I was thinking I can't say. Fine $10,000 and 10 years for taking a picture of a Border Patrol agent. Scoutmaster was trying to keep his cool. He didn't want to complain unless things got worse, and then things got way worse. The boy getting luggage from the top of the van. Here's the snap of a holster. Turn around. Here's the agent, both hands on a loaded pistol, pointing at the young man's head. 4 hours later, nobody was arrested. The boys were allowed to pass through. The Border Patrol kept the scout's camera. Every story that we're doing here tonight is... you can join me? Cool. Miss Amy just walked into the room. I got to get my sunglasses. Made it all bright in here already again. So, but you have to wonder where this country's going. I was talking to a former law enforcement agent today, and he's retired here in the eastern Arizona area. And he almost, as a matter of fact, a gun that he had just purchased was bought with this, within what's in mind, what's going on in this country in mind. And almost with tears in his eyes, he says, I don't recognize my country anymore. I don't know what is going on, what's happened to me. He said, I can't believe that what we have become, what this country, you know, the road it's going down. And here we have Border Patrol agents holding Boy Scouts at gunpoint for, let's see, how long did it say? 4 hours. 4 hours. Nobody was arrested. Held these boys for 4 hours. Kept the camera. What? Don't these people have anything better to do? Don't these Border Patrol agents, aren't there like things that really are illegal? Aren't there serious things? You know, drugs, illegal guns, human trafficking. Isn't there, there's something going on. That's why they're Border Patrol. We got something better to do than hold Boy Scouts at gunpoint, wouldn't you think? I don't know. I don't understand. Nan made it in. Let's see. Who else we got new here? I've got to have another one there. We got numbers. M. Jantz made it. Been a while since you've been in here, buddy. Appreciate you coming in. And thank you for your for your other deal there too. I saw it. By the way, we should be able to ship your packages out, I'm hoping, no later than the end of this week is what I'm really hoping for. So I'll keep you updated on that. All right, let's move on here. I hate the, I'm going to have way too much stuff opened up right here, so let's see. See what I can do to keep this from getting clogged up here. Now then, I don't know how many of you guys follow Alan West. I don't follow him very closely, but I hear, I look at a few things that he says. And this story written by him just 3 days ago, he says that more Brits are signing up for ISIS than for the Army Reserve in the United Kingdom. You know, I don't know what to say. That's extremely disturbing to me. But if you look at the articles and stuff out there on the United Kingdom and the number of Muslims, Muslim organizations and stuff, it's quite alarming. Not that every Muslim in and of themselves are that alarming, but a whole lot of them are. Certainly, ISIS and anybody that supports Islam definitely is a concern for me. But he said last year, he said more British citizens signed up to fight in Iraq and Syria than joined the Army Reserve last year. Just 170 extra reservists enlisted over the past year, despite a government target to boost the standby force by 11,000 by 2018. So there's quite a bit more to the story, but it's just going on about the same thing there. I think that's something to be a little concerned about. I don't know if you guys heard the story about the a doctor. Somebody went into a doctor's office here and attacked. Actually attacked a hospital, gun-free zone, mind you. Sign and all. They had their very own sign up there that had the gun, a little red circle with slash, no guns allowed. Thou shalt not carry a gun in here. Evidently, the attacker here somehow missed the memo some way or another. And, well, anyway, guy started shooting in the hospital. The doctor was grazed by this gunfire from the patient. And the guy walked in off the street. He wasn't a patient that was, you know, staying there or anything. But this doctor apparently returned fire with his own weapon, severely injuring the guy, but not before a caseworker was killed. The patient had opened fire after entering the office, and the doctor. Now I'm not sure how. Of course, I guess it was at the hospital. So either the doctor, it didn't apply to him as an employee, or he ignored the sign. Whatever the case may be, I think that there are numerous people that should be grateful for that, because apparently this guy was just shooting randomly and could have wounded a whole lot more, killed more of them. But the chief of police there said, without a doubt, I believe the doctor saved lives. Without that firearm, this guy could have went into the hallway and just went down the offices until he ran out of ammunition. Now, there's one person was killed, but how do you avoid that? How do you determine that it's okay to shoot somebody before they shoot somebody? How are you going to make that stand up in court? It's going to be a little tough, probably. Depending on how the situation unfolds, it's going to be a little hard to say, well, he was just, he had his gun, but he was pulling it out of his pocket because he was needed to get his keys, his chapstick, his money, something like that. And so you shot him prematurely. You didn't know that he was going to hurt anybody. So talk about the ultimate catch-22. You're going to have to either really depend on your senses there and trust in your own judgment somehow or another, or you have to wait until there's shot fired. He fires one shot whether he hits anybody or not. If he points it at somebody, you can probably manage to get away with it. But unfortunately, that's probably most usually not going to be the case. Usually somebody's not going to raise the gun up, take careful aim, and pull the trigger. Usually the people are within, 2, 5, 10 feet, something like that, and they just yank the gun up and shoot. You can't possibly respond to that in time to keep that from happening. So while there's no question that he saved lives, it's going to be pretty tough to save that first one or two. And I've said that often in school shootings and stuff. How are you going to keep that very first one from getting shot and justify your actions there? Yeah, you can say drop your weapon if you have time. If there's, if he just pulls it out of his pocket and starts shooting, there's not likely going to be time for that in a lot of cases. But there may be, and if there is, certainly using verbal commands can go a long ways. If nothing else, it looks good when you looks good in court. If that's all you get out of it. Let's see here. So in response to that. Oh, yes, you are. In response to that, some psychiatrist another doctor says that psychiatrists with guns are likely more harmful than helpful. By the way, the doctor that used the gun was the psychiatrist. So he said that this recent shootout here is... he said, I had a holy cow reaction, a psychiatrist with a gun in his office. He doesn't mention anything about, wow, it's amazing. I'm glad this fellow doctor was able to save lives, other than by his medical degree or his psychiatric degree or whatever. He said, the idea of a psychiatrist having a weapon in his desk is entirely new to me. I haven't heard of anything like that before. So you can't win for losing. And no matter how justified and how blatantly in your face obvious that it is, you can't win. These people will just not allow you to... They just won't let you, won't give the gun credit or the person using the gun any credit. Well, anyhow, all that being said, I think we better go take a quick break. And we got a whole bunch of this kind of stuff that we need to take care of, so stand by.
I'll be back.
Here we go now.
All you rednecks out there, stand up and salute while we play the Redneck National Anthem.
Redneck, don't give a darn, a redneck. Raised on a farm, I'm a redneck. I'm a six-pack king, I'm a redneck. Just doing my thing, a redneck.
It's a redneck country cowboy state of mind.
Sounds like it sucks. He can't even bait a hook.
What you get, ain't it, son?
join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rookie command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, the Just Measure Radio Network.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day. And Earth is under their grandpa.
Come.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, only them heels that is waiting for me there.
Well, according to AmericanNews.com, Mrs. President Obama has decided that she's not going to, before she gets out of office, that she's made it her personal vendetta here to confiscate guns. I don't know how much of this is true. I don't know how serious she is. I don't know what the I'm getting where I don't trust half the things that I read anymore, because I fear that this is not going to go well. But the girl that got killed, we talked about this back when it happened. Remember Obama's a teenage girl that was at his second inauguration was killed just a little while after that in Washington. At any rate, Michelle has taken a very personal, dim view of this. I don't know how in the world that they would go about this. I don't understand how they even think for a minute it's not going to be a matter. They don't have enough people. They don't have enough ammo. I mean, they've got a lot, but as far as you look at the number of gun owners, we vastly, immensely outnumber the people that might participate in this. I don't care how many people they brought in, unless they were, you know, brought in the Chinese. They'll never have enough people if the 100 million gun owners out there would do anything about it. Now, we all know that 100 million gun owners won't. But out of that 100 million, if 3% did it, that's 3 million. That's a bunch. If we could manage to squeeze 10% of it, and I'm not damn sure that we can't get a larger percentage of people that might participate in that. A lot of people are getting fed up. A lot of people are waking up. A lot of people are coming up with, they're waking up and saying, hey, you know, I have been blind all this time. things are looking differently now. I've never imagined that. Nan, I know that's right. I know there's no doubt in my mind that you'll be there, and I think most of our listeners and their friends and relatives and stuff, you know, that's a pretty good number in itself if we count all the friends, relatives, and a lot of the coworkers and stuff like that of just the listeners of Just Measures Radio Network. And that's going on, you know, you look at the people that listen to every conservative or quasi-conservative radio show out there, people that think they're conservative, like Michael Savage. There's a significant number out there, very significant number. So on top of that, we have this little punk police chief from Massachusetts. Looks just like Barney Fife. Looks just like Barney Fife. Well, he's decided now that that he wants more. It just reached full charge. He's demanding more power to disarm his citizens. He's in Massachusetts, and he's saying that. Let's see if this is the same one. I got so damn many of these things lined up here. I got to make sure I say this right. Well, let's just let him tell you. This is
where we make it easier for more people to get access to these weapons in the city of Boston, because for the most part, nobody in the city needs a shotgun. Nobody needs a rifle.
Yeah, that's what he thinks. Nobody needs a shotgun. Nobody needs a rifle. And
oh,
shut up. I didn't ask you to say that again. I wish that I had a photograph of this guy in his uniform that I could put on. I tell you what I'll do. I'll post this 12-second video on the chat room for you. I want you to look at this guy. It's the whole thing is just a, let's see, I think I can do that here if I do this right. Let's see if this works. Let me see if I can stick this in the chat room. I want you to take a look at this guy. Yeah, he sounds like a dweeb and looks even more like a dweeb. That's not what I'm trying to do there. Let me stop that right there and try this again. See if I can figure out how to get this. Let's try this one here. All right, here we go. Let's try that. All right, we take the S out. There you go. Did it work? Well, the picture came up. You heard the video, so I guess it don't matter if the video works or not. You just need to see the area. All right, there we go. Nobody needs a shotgun. Nobody needs a rifle, according to this guy. He said there's been 74 school shootings since Sandy Hook. The unusual public criticism by police chiefs come after the Senate last week voted to remove a House provision giving chiefs discretion to deny firearms identification cards required to buy shotguns and rifles to people they deem unsuitable. They now have that discretion over licenses to carry handguns. So he's... if they have that discretion, he thinks nobody needs one. Obviously, he's not going to okay any licenses. So I can spend a lot more time on it. It's a much longer story, but it's we're leading up to some other stuff here, so we're going to move on here. Hang on just a minute. I was not prepared here. Moving faster than I'm supposed to be. But you heard that the courts just overturned the ban on carrying guns in Washington, D.C. Have you heard that? The police chief there, who is a woman, by the way, has said, okay, This is what's come down from the court. So if this, if the person is not a convicted felon, if they're not, if they're carrying legally owned and registered weapons, you're not to bother them. Open carry, unlicensed concealed carry, doesn't matter. If the guns are registered and they're not prohibited from owning them, leave them alone. And I'm going to tell you what, that blew me plumb out of the saddle. From what I've heard her say before about other things, but she's following what the court said instead of her own wishes, her own agenda. She's doing what the court said, which I kind of give her credit for that. Well, of course, the anti-gunners went bananas over that, and I think that they have just, I saw something come in just a little while ago before I sat down here, that they've received a 90-day stay on that, and so we'll see. I don't think they haven't reversed it. They just issued a stay on it, and they're looking in that 90 days. They're going to try and figure out how they're going to get around that. I was blown away that we've come that close, but like I said, things are happening. They're happening fast. Good things, bad things, questionable things, but there is a lot of stuff going on in this country right now, everywhere. Coast to coast, border to border, every state, every city, there's things going on that you just wouldn't believe. So some of those things we're going to continue to talk about here. I got to bring them up here a little bit at a time. Now this isn't about shooting, and isn't about your gun rights or any of that kind of stuff. It is kind of about rights, actually, not rights at risk, but just rights in general. There's a kid here, four-year-old kid, banned from a donut shop for asking a simple little innocent question. This guy and this kid and his mother stand in line at the place called the Donut Inn, and he saw a woman who he thought might be pregnant, so the boy says, asked if she had a baby in her belly. The woman actually wasn't pregnant, and evidently she chose not to take offense to that in public, so I'm guessing she might have been a little hefty, maybe. But the next day, when the family returned to the shop, shopkeeper told them to get out. She said the owner of the donut shop told him to leave, said he's not allowed in here. And the mother looked around and said, him? Pointing to her son. She said, yeah, he's rude. How is a four-year-old boy rude? Asking an innocent question. He didn't know. But, four-year-olds do stuff like that. So, anyway, that's all there is to that story, but it just kind of demonstrates what is going on with people in this country. That reminds me, we went to the bowling alley a couple of days ago, and I don't remember if I told you this story or not, but when we got done bowling, my girls and I, the Donut Inn, Nan, is where that was. The girls and I went bowling. We bowled 9 games. 3 of us bowled 3 games apiece. Cost $40, which I thought was a little much, but nevertheless, I guess I should have checked prices before I bowled if I didn't want to pay that much. So I went up there, and there's this kid behind the counter, 18, 19, 20 years old, something like that. He said, $40 and I said, I handed him a $50 bill, and I said, how much change do you need? He said, I don't need any change. And I said, oh, is $40 even? He said, no, $40.50. I said, oh, okay. Well, I handed him 2 quarters. I said, you need 50 cents. Boy, that threw him for a loop. He first started to hand me back $4. I handed him the 50 cents. He turned around the cash register and got a 10 and was going to hand me back $14. And he got there and he stopped right before he handed it to me and turned around to the calculator to figure out what he owed me. I said, look, Spud, just give me 10 bucks and let's call it a day, okay? This guy's 20 years old, 18, 20 years old. And was going to use, I handed him a $50 bill and two quarters for a bill that cost $40.50. Now do the math in your head real quick and see what you come up with. It's probably not anywhere near around $14. When he reached for that calculator, it was all I could do not to reach over and drag him across the counter and throw him out the door. What in the world are you even doing in here? How do you count the bowling pin? I mean, how do you how many fingers you got on your hand? I couldn't believe it. But anyway, $9.06. That's right, Hopper. Thank you. All right, that didn't have anything to do with anything. It was just one of those things that irritated me to death when it happened there. Now then, we have a one of several jackbooted thug stories for you tonight. And this is about a 17-year-old girl that was beaten to a point of hospitalization because she violated the 10 p.m. curfew. The neighbors saw what were happening and come out and told the police, please stop, stop. She's an honor roll student, cheerleader, lifeguard, no prior record, been hospitalized. This was in Clareton, Pennsylvania. And the reason for this by the ice cream shop here was she was in violation of the town's government-mandated bedtime, which a lot of people would call a curfew, for people younger than 18. So she's a year younger than 18, and she got beat into the hospital for being up too late. She, as the story says, she dared risk the disintegration of societal order by being outside after 10 p.m. And the heroic Clareton police decided destined to protect the town from this dangerous villain. So when they got there, apparently she knew she was in trouble, and she took off running. And after they got her, they beat her so bad that she was hospitalized. She had cuts and bruises all over her body, air pockets in her esophagus and lungs as a result of blunt force trauma. They say the girl resisted with violence. So we have more than one cop here that can't take care of a 17-year-old girl if she resisted in violence, which I don't believe for 1 minute that she did. But if she did, you got two cops that can't take care of that without beating her into damn near into a coma. It says in a security video that they got, they can see her struggling and then is quickly beaten, brought to the ground by one of the officers. So that indicates to me that there's at least two. And her grandmother says she's the type of child you can't even raise your voice to her. She'll cry. Well, they'll only say now the cops have declined any comment and only say that the incident is under investigation. There's going to come a day of reckoning before too long, I'm afraid. This kind of activity and this kind of behavior from the protect and serve people is not going to be tolerated forever, I don't think. I think at some point that people are going to wake up one day and say, hey, they can't do that just because that I'm wearing socks that don't match. I mean, it's getting that stupid. Anyway, back to the border deal. There's a lot of militia on the border. There's at least, I was looking at a story today, there's at least 10 teams of militia on the border. The governor hasn't said anything, yay or nay, about them yet. Hasn't supported them, but hadn't said anything derogatory about them yet that I found. So we'll see how all this turns out. But we have to wonder if the next shot heard around the world isn't going to be on the border in Texas or possibly Arizona. So much stuff going on down there. So many people fed up with it. And Border Patrol, now we got the Border Patrol here that held these Boy Scouts at gunpoint, but we got other Border Patrol that are refusing orders, walking off the job, refusing to support or enforce some of these policies. And in listen. Hang on a second. We'll let's let this buffer here a minute. We'll start this over for you. But there was a pretty intense shootout went on down near the Texas-Mexico border in La Jolla, Texas. There was a Border Patrol agents got into quite the little skirmish, I guess, with not sure who, were assuming cartels. There's one guy that the man that they'd wanted for, let's see. They went in there and they arrested a man in La Jolla. They said two law enforcement officers were shot, both expected to recover. They say the man they wanted was wanted for a murder in Texas, in the little town of Edinburgh. And he's also believed to be a member of the Texas Syndicate prison gang. He'd barricaded himself in an apartment, so it wasn't cartel, it was just this guy here. They say the gunman was killed in the standoff. Let me see if we can get this up here. Well, anyway, you'd have to watch the video to appreciate that, but they're, it's wonder more of them didn't get shot when you look at the tactics and look how they're utilizing cover and concealment and everything. It's a wonder that they didn't, more of them get hurt, messing with this guy. But of course, obviously, he wasn't any smarter. He would have got more of them. But it, training some of these guys, they probably get decent training. Maybe they just don't remember it or something. I don't know what the hell. But infidel, that's right. That girl, yeah, Dan, the police beat her. Yes, that's right. And she was protected and served almost to death there. It's getting to the point on this show sometimes that I have to think a little bit. I have to be kind of careful. That's why I hesitate sometimes, because I'm trying to make sure that I don't step over that almost indistinguishable line there, where you say things that are irreversible, things that you should not say, that would authorities might take offense at. This things that are going on, I don't know. I've said this over and over and over, and it's not getting any better, and it's not changing. And people seem to be, I guess, okay with it. So I guess I should be okay with it too, because Everybody seems to be fat, dumb, and happy. So here's a kind of a happy story, though. Let's this was kind of neat. And I'll bet this kid will, his kid's granddad will remember this. This is a kid that was, let me see how old he is here. He is 13 years old. This guy said, I don't know how you pronounce this, it's in Poland. It looks like Zamosk, Poland. I don't know if that's correct pronunciation. But they said there hasn't been a Jewish service in the synagogue there since before the Holocaust. Until earlier this month, a 13-year-old New York boy came to the city that his grandfather had fled, chased out of, in 1935. This boy went there to celebrate his bar mitzvah and honor the struggle of his family over the years. He said, my grandfather, who was born in this town, would have become a bar mitzvah in this very synagogue if not for World War II. His maternal grandmother, born in 1935, escaped the Nazis as a small child when his family fled to the Soviet Union, as did approximately half of the 12,000 Jews then living in that town. And the Nazis murdered those that remained in there. The rest of the story is not really relevant. It's just, I think it's neat that this kid went back there after all these years and did for the first time. It's strange to me that this happened, the first one that's happened since before the Holocaust. It just seems kind of weird. But nevertheless, you know, good on him. I think that's a neat deal, neat story. Anyhow, with all this neatness going on, I think we better take a break and get our thoughts together here a little bit. So I'll be back here shortly.
Now you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Enemy is approaching fast. Requesting orders. General, what should we do?
No response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable. People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, we will bring change, consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun Boogie draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measure Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Join me in the Tinker Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have won on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
Okay, we have an update now for the doctor who violated his own hospital's firearms policy. He will not lose his job. He's, matter of fact, the hospital is praising him for doing what he did. There's a statement here that said they're looking forward to him resuming to see his patients. He said, "We are thankful for the swift action of Dr. Lee Silverman. Dr. Jeffrey somebody and somebody else, and the other colleagues and visitors who took brave and difficult action during yesterday's tragic event. We extend our condolences to Teresa Hunt's family. We're praying for Dr. Silverman's speedy recovery. We look forward to him returning to serving his patients at our hospital. We will do all we can to support the victims during this difficult time. We continue to work with the Delaware County authorities to understand fully the details of the event. We're reviewing our policies and procedures to ensure a safe environment. We are committed to serving as a compassionate and healing presence for our communities, and we are grateful for the outpouring of community support. So, knock me over with a feather again. I would have fully expected for him to be fired. So I think that's very cool. I'm very glad to hear that. Let's see. Let's move on here. We got another one. Not related to guns, oddly enough, as many of them as we do have tonight related to guns. But in New York, of all places, this is why I could see this in Montana or Wyoming or Arizona. But in New York, the state appeals court has ruled that a father in Long Island used reasonable force when he spanked his 8-year-old son for cursing at an adult. Good for him. That's awesome. There's a lot more of that needs to be happening. Not nearly enough of it these days. But this place says that the state appellate division dismissed a child neglect proceeding against a man last week. The father had used the disciplinary action on October 2012 during a party at a friend's house. So somebody at that friend's house obviously turned him in. But they say the social service department alleged that he used an open hand and belt on the boy's buttocks, legs, and arms after they got home. I don't know how they determined this after he got home, unless the wife said something, or a girlfriend, or whatever, I don't know. But the appellate division said under the county family court found him in neglect. But the appellate division said under the circumstances the spanking did not constitute excessive corporal punishment. It said there was sufficient evidence to prove, he said there was insufficient evidence to prove that he hit his son with a belt. So once in a while, we get a very small taste of truth and common sense somewhere besides off of the shooting bench. So, here's something I probably should have saved till Thursday night, but I'm going to do it just because I got it up here. And also because we have experienced this. Here's a UPS driver in California accused of stealing dozens of guns. This guy named Curtis Hayes, driver for UPS. Actually, I'm going to probably step out on a limb here and say a former driver for UPS. In Southern California, has been accused of stealing dozens of firearms slated for delivery through the service and selling them on the black market. You know, they used to say the black market and nobody thought anything about it. Now they have in parentheses here a term used by the local media. We have to explain ourselves here for saying black market. According to this Southern California, not sure what that abbreviation stands for, but authorities learned of the scheme after Turner's Outdoorsman Management alerted authorities to the missing shipments. The store typically receives UPS shipments from out-of-state gun manufacturers through the shipping companies on Ontario Hub. 16-count indictment was filed July 23rd. It alleges that he had stolen a series of packages containing guns in 2012. The indictment also accuses him of stealing jewelry and mobile phones that were supposed to be delivered to other retailers. They've named another guy there, Dennis White, as his co-conspirator and middleman, who is accused of selling the guns on the street or to other illegal gun dealers. So, we, Jason and I had finished a really, really nice gun for, I can't believe, I hate this when I know somebody's name as well as my own. And I can't think of it. The guy that owns Rangemaster in Memphis, Tennessee. And I can't think of his cotton picking name. He He's a good trainer. He's trained a lot of people. He's got a great facility there. And I got a big, nice article that he wrote about our work and his gun and everything. But anyway, we finished this gun for him. And shipped it out to him. It was all paid for and ready to go, and shipped it out to him, and he received an empty box. So that pretty well narrowed it down. Tom Givens is his name. Pretty well narrowed it down to UPS having done that. So anyway, we filed a claim, told him, provided all the proper documentation, everything. They paid us for it right away. It didn't take them very long at all. It took, a couple, 3 weeks, maybe at the most, to receive the check for it. And we, while we were waiting for that, we got him another gun, and we're working on it. And by the time we got the money for that one, we'd already finished another one and sent it to him, and he received that one. He wrote a nice article and did some pictures. As a matter of fact, let me go look at something right here and see, just for the heck of it. This was some years ago, but I'm going to see if there is a possibility here that, let's see, let me try this differently. Give me just a minute here. Hang with me. See what happens. No, it was too long ago, I guess. Looks like they've taken it off of their website. But anyway, we've got a couple of copies of the article laminated and everything, and we put one of them in the shop. And put, matter of fact, I've got one of them here at the house. Now that I think about it, we just saw it the other day while we were moving a bunch of stuff around. But anyhow, that's what you can expect from UPS. Now, this is UPS's own policy that they have to ship handguns overnight because of stuff like this, but shipping them overnight has not prevented it. It may have slowed it down. So I have to pay priority overnight if it goes FedEx, or regular overnight if it goes UPS. I have to pay these exorbitant fees to get a gun back to somebody because of their dishonest employees. Gun dealers should be allowed to send their... As a matter of fact, this is just absolutely, it's criminal, if you ask me. They are forcing us to send handguns overnight and then telling us that we have to pay for overnight fee. If they're going to force us to do it overnight, they should do it for ground fees, because it's their idea. It is not law. However, it is law that you cannot send, that you have to send by common carrier. At least a dealer has the option of doing it. Here, I'll put these together later on and see if we can salvage it. So, where were we at? What was the last thing you heard? We were talking about UPS and the cost of okay, so common carrier's last thing, T-Dog here. Now, what it means is you are obligated by law to send your handguns by common carrier. Not because there's anything, only because you're not allowed to send them by mail. This is handguns, not long guns. Long guns you can legally send by priority mail. As dealers, we can send them priority mail back and forth, dealer to dealer. You have to send them to me priority mail, overnight. I have to send them back to you overnight. you have to pay, $100 to get it here, and then pay another $100 or $180 or $120 or whatever it is to get it back to you, because of the dishonesty of UPS employees and FedEx employees. What happens if you send the guns? You can get away with it. Of course, if you get caught, it'll be a federal felony. You can send the guns by priority mail by just keeping your mouth shut and mailing them. If you were to get caught, if a box breaks open, or somebody suspects it, or they X-ray it, or something like that, it's going to be a felony on your part, a federal felony on your part. So, and it also means that if the gun is stolen, you're going to have a hard time replacing it without revealing what was in the package. If you say it was machine parts, they're not going to buy you a new Glock 35. You're going to get machine parts of some kind, I guess. So it's unwise to do that. You can get away with it. A lot of people do. But if anything ever happens, you could be screwed vigorously. So I would think long and hard before I did that. So anyway, let's see. What a racket. Yeah, Hotshot, they do. They really do have you coming and going. That's a fact. And it's not, they make a policy, and you have to abide by it and pay for it. And I think that's quite the lucrative business there. I tell you what, let's make a policy where they have to do this, and we'll make, instead of making $18 for this ground shipment, we'll make $118, but because it has to go by air. That is the way to make money, boys. Yeah, you can thank me later. Let's get the word out. That's how that works. And yes, it ticks me off vigorously. Remember the teacher we talked about here? What's it been, a month or so ago? Arizona. Right here in Arizona, the teacher was left alone in a classroom and then raped by a convicted sex offender. They left her alone. She was at the prison. They left her alone. And this guy, I've got a picture of him here. He looks like somebody that needs a bullet right between his eyes. And let me let him know that I'm on the air here. Can't answer that. Anyway, it looks like she's going to wind up. She's filed a $4 million claim. I think that's a small price to pay for rape. But it's a shame that I hope she gets it. It's a shame that the taxpayers are going to have to pay for it. But nevertheless, I hope that she gets something that may help ease the pain of that a little bit. $4 million would help me ease a hell of a lot of pain for me. But nevertheless, it was on top of the $4 million, which she, I think she'll be lucky to get even half of that. But on top of that, there should be some people fired. And this sex offender here should be now put on death row, as far as I'm concerned. And the department, the facility, the correction facility itself, should certainly be held accountable for this. Not just for money. Somebody, the heads need to roll. They need to, somebody needs to lose their job here. Maybe even possibly criminal charges against some of the administration of this place. And, all right, back to the, we talked extensively not too long ago about dogs being killed by cops. Well, here's one that was caught on film. Now, this This explains a lot of things. Now, maybe not for all of these shootings, but I'm betting for some of them. This was in Michigan. A gal is suing the police there at St. Clair Shores. Two officers, or three officers actually, two police officers and one animal control officer, for violation of her Fourth Amendment rights as well as her civil rights in the execution of her dog. 45-pound lab mix shot multiple times by these officers. The independent necropsy found that she had died from 15 bullet wounds from a suspected 8 rounds fired into her. So that means that all the bullets exited except one, or one of them was a grazing wound, one or the other. But police surrounded the dog as the grandfather tried to let her in the house. So they murdered this dog, premeditated as far as I'm concerned. The police report says the dog charged police and they shot her. But again, witnesses say that the dog cowered against the side of the house as officers kept shooting. They said the neighbors were crying as they filmed this going on. All of this over a noise complaint. The dog was being watched by this gal's grandfather, who has mild dementia and sleeps with a sleep apnea mask on while this lady worked the overnight shift. And he had left the dog outside and forgot about her. In this dash cam, the officers are heard outside the residence planning to kill the dog to start with. One of the officers said, he said, "The only thing I'm going to do is shoot it. I don't like dogs." Unbelievable. After being shot, dog stayed alive for 4 hours. And in the video here, she can be seen walking to the animal control vehicle. And she died at the vet clinic or whatever. And in the meantime, those cops are still armed, still dangerous, still, in my mind, a menace to society, and loose on the street. They should be, all three of them, in jail. No doubt about it. So, anyway, I got to go gather up some more stuff, so listen to Daryl Worley here till I get back, would you?
First thing I did when that plane finally landed was kiss the ground. Thing I did was to go find my friends down at the old hangout. We drank some beer and talked a lot about old times. But when the booze finally hit Billy Joe Grimes, he said, "I don't know what it is, but you seem different to me." Took a walk through the neighborhood. I thought it's been so long since I've been in a place where everything is good. People laughing and children were playing. And as I watched them, I found myself praying, "Lord, keep them safe here the land of the free." I just came back from a place
I'll be back.
You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Bring it on. If you're tired of being spoon-fed politically correct pablum every time you turn the radio on, join Colt Reynolds for The Shooting Bench here on the Just Measures Radio Network for the most politically incorrect firearms information program on talk radio.
I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
The folks thought he'd call a great victory ball, but he asked the band to play the song Dixie. For you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe, cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb.
I am here in protest with the college students from Georgia State and Georgia Tech.
Protesting what now?
Well, they're protesting against equality and change, you know. We don't like the way the government is allowing us to be able to, you know, utilize our various, degrees and, you know, our job market into the, you know, society without it having to be uproared by the, you know, fear of what the government is constantly putting on us. Everywhere I go traveling throughout the train system and the rail system, you have Homeland Security everywhere. So, you know, how can I very well concentrate on, you know, getting a job and getting through school without having to, how can I stay focused without having to worry about, you know, whether or not I'll make it home safe, or, you know, this fear factor that the government has going on with us thinking that something bad is going to happen with our serenity and our peace and our homeland security will become insecure. And it bothers me for these school-age kids to be going through what they're going through. I don't think it's fair at all.
Hurricanes. Tornadoes. Western firestorms, earthquake.
Join me in the Tinker Shop Saturday evening at 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right. We're back. Finish this up here. I got another good news story that I think is kind of awesome. After the standoff that we're all aware of at Bundy Ranch here a little while back, there's a SWAT officer in Las Vegas that obviously it's one of those things where one of them scared and the other one damn glad of it. His name's Russell Laws. And he posted a thing on Facebook right after the standoff, said, "I just wish you could see how big that guy prone with the rifle's head was in the scope of the sniper's 308. Don't worry, he wouldn't have felt a thing." So he's fantasizing about shooting somebody in the head, blowing a protester's head off. And this was, he was called out by another Facebook guy there. One of them, this guy was a former military officer. He called him a fat, oath-breaking Cooterville SWAT sniper. And he said that he, too, has a 308 rifle. He said, I'm going to archive this, he wrote in response to that, and screen capture everything in case their names ever come up in a police brutality case. So, anyway, apparently they got a hold of this. It says, how can you keep him as a sniper after he posts about shooting someone in the head? He should have known better. And another guy, another officer, sergeant, defended those comments. He was transferred also. He was taken out of the sniper job and put on the street. And which I guess that's better than nothing. But it if we would have said the same thing about a cop or any government official out there anywhere, it wouldn't have gone so easy for us. But the officers in the same department said that felt that condoning such behavior would only embolden a SWAT team behind three fatal shootings within the last year. The officers' union is attempting to make a case that they were punished without due process. Well, I don't know about all that, but let's see. Let me check and see. Okay. Now then, moving on to another. Well, let me. I'm going to skip that one for just a minute. No, I'm not, because it kind of goes, in my mind, goes hand in hand with the next story here. In where is this? Philadelphia. There was a gal here named Fatima something, Dumboya. Had no idea what would happen for simply choosing to have her baby at the house. She, with her husband there, she gave birth to the little girl in their own home. And for 6 days, they enjoyed being new parents before deciding that it wouldn't be a bad idea if they took the baby down and had it screened for any health issues. Turns out, it was a bad idea. As it happened, the whole bunch of them were kidnapped, treated like criminals. The gal says as soon as they got to the hospital, doctors arranged to have her baby taken to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia without her permission. And the nurse said they'll be here to take her soon to CHOP, they call it, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. When they asked for them to tell her what was going on, explain them about it, they said they didn't have the necessary pediatric tools needed for a baby that size. And which was a lie. But anyway, the family didn't understand why they were being set up like this. But when they asked to speak to the doctor tells them that if they refuse to transfer, that he'll call the Department of Human Services and the police. And turns out they did it anyway, regardless. When they went into the next room, they were met by three police officers. They asked the officers why they were not being allowed to leave. The cops didn't even know. They couldn't give them a reason. They were just told not to let them leave. So when they tried to leave, the three cops blocked the door with their arms folded like some Billy Badass and told them they could not leave with their child. You know, I suppose that they could have done the same thing to us when we left with our youngest, because we said that there was no, told them we didn't had not chosen a name, and said, oh, you have to, because you have to go on the birth certificate. I said, no, what statute says is that you have to issue a certificate of live birth for the child. I don't have to do anything. And I left with her. And I'm glad it didn't go the direction that this one did. So anyway, there was a hospital there, a worker there that had a little bit of a conscience. They said that the hospital's action was probably illegal and that she could get her daughter discharged by filling out some forms at the desk. So they got the forms filled out but were ignored by the staff and never, or they went to fill them out actually, and they were ignored and never given the forms. So they claimed they waited for hours for an ambulance to bring her and the baby to the children's hospital. And anyway, as they kept running test after test after test, trying to find something wrong with the baby. Well, anyway, they finally they wouldn't let her feed the baby. So for 6 hours, no, for hours it said, they had to sit there and listen to this baby scream all the time. And finally, after having the baby for 13 hours, it was returned to them and they were allowed to go home. The next day, the doorbell rings and it's CPS. She said, "I'm here because we received an alarm from the hospital about lack of supervision for your newborn." They said they could not come in the house and unless they had a warrant, and the CPS worker said, "We don't need one." So they still refused. On the third attempt, in a consultation from an attorney, they allowed them to come in and inspect. So on the top of all this, they received a bill for the forced medical treatment, the ambulance ride alone, $3,320, just for the ambulance ride, not counting everything else that they did. This is how it is in the land of the free. No. Oh, dear me. Let me look here and see what's going on in the chat room. I haven't checked over there for a little while. Sound's gone again. Tell someone, type in there and tell Mouse to refresh. She may not know to do that. No. Let's see. Let me go back up through here and look real quick and see what's going on in here. And Infidel has looked back up here a little far. You know, you're right, and I've thought about that. What would happen if an equal number of police canines wound up receiving the same treatment that a lot of these families' pets are getting? I wonder what would happen then. It's not fair to the dogs, but, you know, war is hell on the home front, too. I don't know. Stockton, California. There was a quite the police chase went on here for more than an hour this last Wednesday. No, a week ago Wednesday. That these police officers were chasing an SUV around the streets of San Joaquin, of northern San Joaquin County. Undeterred by what authorities described as a barrage of gunfire from as many as four firearms held by the suspects. But anyway, is it... I got to read this part here. It says, the stakes were high. Inside the Ford Explorer were three, then two, then a final hostage held against her will by three suspected bank robbers. According to the police account, dozens of officers and untold bystanders stood at risk as stray rounds pierced homes, parked cars, and patrol cruisers. The dangers only seemed to grow with every minute. About 67 of them passed before the gunfire ceased and the sirens were silenced. Revealing among the worst possible outcomes, the final hostage was dead, along with the two fatally injured captors. It's not clear which one of them killed the hostage, but... they said the fact that the three violent gunmen put our community at such jeopardy is deplorable. The fact that they attempted to kill our officers and put the hostages in the community at harm is beyond comprehension. The gunmen had not the slightest intent of a peaceful resolution as they continued to cause mayhem and havoc. So, apparently they were willing to risk that one hostage as they trying to avoid injuries in the rest of the town there. So says, believe the primary shooter, weapon of choice, is an AK-47. The suspects were armed with .245 caliber handguns and a 9mm handgun. And strapped to their bodies were massive amounts of ammunition. So evidently they was planning on this going on for a little while. Well, along those lines, we have here a young single mom in Georgia that used a firearm to stop a car thief Friday night. Let's see, what's the date on this? It is, yep, brand new. This would have been this last Friday. The attempted theft took place just one night after the woman's apartment was broken into. Among other items stolen, the spare key for her Jeep. Fearing that they may return, the woman kept her handgun close by. When she heard someone trying to steal a car the next night, she leapt into action. The woman saw what was happening from her balcony and then ran outside with her firearm. The woman told the suspect to stop, but he elected not to. The woman then opened fire on the suspect and emptying the magazine of her firearm. He jumped out of the passenger door of the vehicle and fled the scene and remains at large. So I don't know how big a magazine she had, but I'm sure she fired at least 6 rounds, maybe as many as 12 or 15. And so now the car is full of holes, the neighbor's car is full of holes, the house is full of holes, mailbox is full of holes, and but he didn't steal the car, by golly, so I guess that makes her the winner. Yeah, come to Southwest Shooting Authority. Let's work on your accuracy here. Said neither the woman nor the young daughter were harmed. As far as all can be told, all rounds fired hit the vehicle, with the majority going into the driver's side of the cabin. Blood was found in the car, but it's unclear if the suspect was hit by the rounds. It does seem the entire incident took place in the woman's property based on media reports. What is not clear is if the suspect was backing the vehicle towards the woman when she opened fire. So, anyway. Okay. They say this is the 70th defensive gun use that they've documented in the state of Georgia since they've been keeping track here. 1,239th defensive gun use documented overall. Very good. All right, let's move on. Let's do one more here, and then we're going to get out here in New York again. And this is not new. This is maybe rejuvenated in New York, but it's not new. We've talked about this before back when we were in New Mexico. But DHS is going to pay you $500 to rat out your neighbors if they're preppers buying legal stuff. They're in New York's Division of Homeland Security posting signs on businesses to encourage people to snitch on fellow citizens who buy such things as MREs, ammunition, flashlights, match containers, gas masks, and other items deemed to be prepper in nature. Now, this was we talked about this. It wasn't DHS, but there was a reporting system that was going in place in Army surplus stores and stuff to report these exact same items. When somebody bought this kind of stuff, they were these surplus stores were instructed to keep track of who was doing this. So there's a gal here in the LZ Army Navy store in Auburn, New York. Tells how a state trooper put up a flyer in their window which encourages customers to call the New York State Terrorism Tips Line to report their suspicious activity under the, as part of the See Something, Say Something campaign. Let's see what this video has to say here. Hang on, bear with me a minute. Come on. Let's go. Giddy up. Chop chop.
Hi folks, Van Prepper here. I'm going around taking some pictures of anti-SAFE Act and other kind of signs, anti-Governor Cuomo signs. Joelle showed me a sign that a state trooper came in and put in their window, and she said this number is nothing other than the SAFE Act NARC line, where people will sit, they want citizens to call up. They'll give you $500 to rat out your fellow citizens. And one of the things is on the letter that she showed me, I'm going to read this here. It says, New York State law enforcement has been communicating with a wide range of corporations, businesses, and industries throughout the state with Operation Safeguard since 2004. With this program, the Office of Counterterrorism seeks to establish a procedure that may be helpful in reporting information, circumstances that appear, information or circumstances appear unusual or suspicious to you, your employees, or members of your respective professional association, which could be a possible assistance to law enforcement. Now, what they've got listed, she told me, are people who are buying large quantities of MREs. It's just a ridiculous thing. Here's what they say are suspicious activities. Individuals or groups making bulk purchases of items, including weatherproof ammunition or match containers, MREs, night vision equipment, night flashlights, gas masks under suspicious circumstances. These are totally legal items. And when she came in, another employee of the store had let the state trooper put this on the window. And I'm going to let her tell you in her own words, because Joelle is a champion of freedom. Joelle, what did you do when you came in and saw that sign on the window?
The first thing I did was completely rip it down, because I knew right off the bat that it wasn't right. Anything that has Homeland Security or emergency through New York State, I don't trust. Just because I've learned so much over the past, 6 months or so, that it's not, they're just out to get, people's names and everything else is what it comes down to.
I agree. Thank you very much, Joelle. I appreciate you telling me about this and taking the time to do a quick interview. Joelle, we appreciate your efforts to support the Second Amendment and freedom in general. I am Van Prepper. Happy shooting, everybody.
All right. There you have it. All right, stop, Van Prepper. We don't need you anymore. Appreciate that, though. So, there you go. And there's another deal. I just was reminded here. I've got another story when they were talking about DHS doing this. I have another thing to share with you. So give me just a second. We'll see if we can go find that. Here we go. Let me bring this up here. Another thing where Homeland Security agents are being used for things other than what they were designed for. I'm not sure what their purpose in life is supposed to be, but I don't think that they're there to raid homes for EPA for emission violations for a Land Rover. Department of Homeland Security, really? This is hard to believe. They seized a Land Rover. This was Department of Homeland Security, expanded far outside what they're supposed to be doing. Six vehicles full of DHS agents. Even if there were six vehicles with only one agent in them, it says six vehicles full of DHS agents were required to seize one Land Rover from a couple in Statesville, North Carolina, due to the fact that the vehicle had allegedly violated EPA emission standards. As part of its mission to protect the homeland, they've been busy seizing imported vehicles that don't comply with safety and CO2 regulations. You have got to be kidding me. But this couple was satisfied with their $60,000 purchase of the Land Rover on eBay. Complied with regulations because it fell into the exemption category of a vehicle 25 years or older. However, when DHS turned up on the property, they compared the car's vehicle identification number to a list and immediately seized it. The couple were not given a chance to debate the issue. They said DSA conducted almost like a raid to get the car. It was unnerving the way they did it. The feds had given Brinkley's 35 days to appeal the seizure, but refused to tell them where the vehicle is located. DHS also failed to respond to media requests about the incident. The rest of the story is just about how DHS was created and all that stuff. But here's another example here where in Greenville, North Carolina, teams of armed DHS agents showed up outside a courthouse. There was no threat to the building. The purpose of the agents' presence was to let people know they're in the area. while encouraging residents to snitch on their neighbor via the Say Something or See Something, Say Something program. And another one, the DHS conducted a military-style invasion on a small town in Illinois. We talked about this on the shooting bench, complete with armored vehicles, a Black Hawk helicopter, and a bunch of heavy-duty equipment and weaponry. It subsequently emerged that the reason behind the show of force was to apprehend one man for downloading indecent images on his computer. Unbelievable. So, I guess the folks that owned this Land Rover should consider themselves lucky that they weren't murdered while all this was going on. Oh, well. All right. Well, I've had all the fun I can stand for one night. I'm about to pop here. So, I'll see you guys in the morning for Amy's show. Tomorrow will be... I got so much going on tomorrow, but I have every intention of being here on time for the shooting bench tomorrow night, and I'll definitely be here tomorrow to produce Amy's show. So I hope you guys have a good night. I appreciate the good turnout tonight. I appreciate all of you showing up, and hope you weren't disappointed and that you'll come back and see us. It looks like some of the anonymous left here. Anyway, we'll see you in the morning for Living Way Out Here, 8 a.m. Pacific time. And then again tomorrow night at 9 or 8 p.m. Pacific for the shooting bench. Good night.
This has been the Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.